Coming up today on David versus Goliath.
Data is always crucial, okay? But it is always and only about the past.
Big words and a lot of things I think that are really important for small businesses to take.
Welcome to today's episode of David versus Goliath, a podcast dedicated to helping small businesses leverage technology to not only help them compete against their large competitors, but win. Your host is currently the CEO of Anthem Business Software, a three-time Inc. 500 recipient and a serial entrepreneur with a passion to help small businesses everywhere find, serve, and keep more customers profitably. Please join me in welcoming your host, Adam DeGrade.
Hey everyone, it's Adam DeGrade from the David versus Goliath podcast. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Today we're going to be interviewing Mark Staus from Proof Analytics out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Today's episode is brought to us by AutomateMySocial.com, where if you're a small business, you can automate 90 to 100% of the creation, posting, automation and strategy of your social media forever and never have to think about it again. I was talking to a business owner the other day that said they saved $48,000 a year by switching their social media efforts over to automatemysocial.com. Go check it out. Also visit us online at davidvsgoliathpodcast.com. There you can subscribe for our newsletter and also apply to be on the podcast. Well, with no further ado, let's get right into it. Mark, welcome to the DVG podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. It's great to have you on, a fellow lover of analytics and data in a digital world, which as you and I know, Mark, that is a lot of people say they love it, but they really don't know what they're looking for and they don't know what they need. And so it's always great to have somebody else who's involved in this. I've been building software for years with a digital slant, with an ROI perspective. And if you don't really know what's effective and what's not, you're dead in the water. And we used to tell people all the time that you can only manage what you can measure. And if you don't know what you're missing, you don't know how to actually manage it because you're not measuring maybe the right metrics. So for the watchers and listeners of David versus Goliath, tell them a little bit about your company. I believe it was started in 2015. And exactly what Proof Analytics does.
Yeah. So, I mean, Proof is the natural extension of the previous, 15 to 18 years worth of climbing the analytics hill, not as a data scientist, but as a business leader who was increasingly convinced that analytics, being analytics led, was kind of the only way to be, right? That augmenting the decision-making of the human brain was logical. And that, there were countless examples. Pilots is just a super easy one, right? That went through the same transition and would never dream in a million years not to take advantage of automation and analytics and AI and all that kind of stuff in their airplanes today. The same thing is true in business. And so I got ultimately to a very high level of maturity as a very senior corporate leader, in my case as chief marketing officer, leading very large global teams and global campaigns in some very complex businesses. And there was just literally no way to be able to demonstrate the relationships between, say, marketing investment and sales impact without analytics, right? Marketing and sales are asynchronous in terms of the way that they create value. One is linear, that would be sales in the way that it creates value. Marketing is nonlinear. The amount of time lag represented in each given investment, and then the half-life degradation thereafter is all different. And so if you are seeking to optimize spend in a changing environment, so it's not just about, marketing and sales. It's about all the things in the world that you don't control that impact all that.
Yeah.
Then there's really no other way to do it. But we were on the corporate side. This is all pre-proof. We got to a very high level of success and sophistication in that, but it costs, you know, very large amounts of money. $7, $8, $9 million a year was not unusual. It was brute force. We basically had to hire way more data analysts and data scientists than we otherwise would have liked to have hired, just to get the throughput, just to reduce the latency of the recalc, right, was a killer. Because if you're doing this and you're doing it accurately, but you're not doing it at the clock speed of the business, you're done, right? I mean, you're going to be accurate probably, but you're not going to be relevant.
Yeah, the moment has passed. It's interesting that you talked about air traffic controllers. I talk about, one of the examples that I've always used. It's like, I'll never forget the day. I don't know if you remember this, years ago, out of DC, out of Reagan International Airport. They had a report where the air traffic control people fell asleep, and there was only one of them in the tower. Guess who took off at that exact night, at the exact moment, and watched that report? Me. I happened to be one of the planes that took off during that. And I remember saying to myself, thank God I'm alive. And to your point, like, if you, as a business owner and as somebody who's managing a department or an entire company, if you don't have relevant data that can impact the world right now, you're always looking backwards. And so it's very difficult to make decisions in hindsight when the world, to your point, could be shifting right now, which I think is fascinating. So
I think it really is super important, very foundationally important, to say that data is always crucial, okay? But it is always and only about the past, right?
That's so true, by the way. Even when you get it in real time, it's already gone.
It's already gone. And so if you are making decisions based solely on data, and let's say in data visualization kinds of things, right, you are behind the eight ball. You are not that there is no forecast capability in that. Any forecasting that you do is essentially you deciding that past is going to be prologue.
Yeah.
And how many of us looking back at the last 3 years can say that? No one can say that, right? And so this is where something as pedestrian to data scientists as multivariable linear and nonlinear regression is really still answering 85% of the world's questions about most of this kind of stuff.
It's fascinating.
And so we automated it. That's what proof is. We basically made it possible for a data analyst to model something much faster. So instead of days, it's single digit hours to create a model.
That's great.
We really are very agile in our framework around it. In fact, software talks about the minimum viable product. We talk about the minimum viable model.
Yeah.
So how important it is to be able to say to your business customer, hey, I've created this model. How does this work for you? Does this answer your question? Does this help you make a better decision? And you ping pong that several times, and then you get it into a good place and you put it in production, which means hooking it up to the APIs and stuff. And proof that after that, it becomes effectively autonomous, right? So, and companies tend to measure things at the clock speed of their operations. And so that means that these models, as soon as they sense new data coming in at whatever the right cadence is, they're going to automatically recalc. And this is where we have found that these models properly UX'd, right, operate very much like a GPS. And in fact, most business questions really are navigation questions.
Yeah.
You know, what do I need? I'm on this road. I'm on this forecast. I'm on this path to this goal. things are changing. What do I need to change in response? How much do I need to change? Why do I need to change? Right. That's a navigation question right there.
Totally. So when you started Proof, you were working currently at a big company. Did you fund it yourself? Did you get investors? How did that transition take place?
We actually had a great situation in that so everyone who was involved in Proof from the very beginning had made a lot of money somewhere else. And so we funded it ourselves for like the first year.
That's great.
And then we attracted some outside investment from family offices who were really wanted to get in. And
when you say family offices, you're talking about your family members?
No, this is not friends and family. Okay. These are very high net worth individuals who have so much money that rather than pay JP Morgan Chase or whoever to manage it for them, they hire anywhere from 1 to 10 usually investment management professionals to work for them as employees in what is literally an incorporated entity, a family office. And that is the way that they manage their money.
That's great. Now, are you managing your money that way?
Actually, I do have a family office and I do manage my money that way. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to you. It sounds awesome. How many people are currently working in the business right now?
We're up to about 37, 38 in that ballpark. And we work with customers like Samsung and Bayer and Johnson Controls and Honeywell and, you know, others. I mean, it's a really cool list. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of interesting, not only for Proof, but for the analytics industry at large, is that beginning about 6 months into COVID, the whole sector saw a tremendous increase in interest in business, largely because it became more and more apparent, I think, to more and more people that past was indeed not prologue anymore. And if they weren't able to actually forecast results from X, right? Sure. And then optimize and re-optimize that as time went along. So again, this is the GPS analogy right here. They were going to have a big problem. And when we look at customers, for example, you know, across 2019, 20, 21, and 22, you know, one of the things that's really just leaps off the page is the amount of impact that the changing environments have had on the investment equation between whatever you're spending in a given area of your operations and its outcome, right?
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's kind of mind blowing, actually, right?
I mean, it is mind blowing. Well, we got to take a break from our first break from our first corporate sponsor. You're with Mark and Adam from David versus Goliath. You're learning about analytics, big words. And a lot of things I think that are really important for small businesses to take is the fact that you have to know your numbers, you have to know your metrics, and you have to manage with them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you own a business? Do you have or need a social media presence? If you are like most businesses, you spend either no time or too much time and money on your social media strategy, spending thousands of dollars per month only to get mediocre and inconsistent results. This leads to frustration and, in some cases, sleepless nights. Introducing AutomateMySocial.com. automate 90% of your social media, and never have to think about it again. That's right. Automate your business's social media posting and strategy like forever. Automate the essentials and customize only what's needed. Save time, save money, and get better results with automatemysocial.com. Our patent-pending technology gives you the ability to automatically create your social posts and distribute them immediately, like in seconds, across all your social media platforms. Stop the madness of paying someone to create posts and manage your strategy, and let our software do the work, so you don't have to. Oh, and if you're an agency or social media manager, you too can let our software do all the work, and you can get all the credit. It will be our little secret. With automatemysocial.com, you can have it all. It's easy to use, never complains, and never ask for time off or more benefits. See this amazing new software application at automatemysocial.com. If you own a business or manage client social media and want to save time, energy, money, all while increasing your return on investment, then let's get this party started at automatemysocial.com.
And I'm back with Mark. Mark, this has been awesome so far, learning a ton. And I think to boil it down to simplicity, because those of us that deal in data and software and analytics all the time, you know, we can look at it in very high level terms, and people can be listening. I have businesses with people with 500 employees that watch the show. I have entrepreneurs who are getting ready to start their business. I have small businesses under 5 employees that watch the show. To help them practically understand, a client calls you at Proof Analytics, and that walk us through the life. Say, this is our challenge, and then this is your solution. And how does that practically get implemented into that business? I think that would help people.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that one of the most important things is to realize that we're talking about the scientific method of inquiry. And you probably haven't bumped into that since high school or college science class, right?
You know, it's funny. I was actually just watching the other day a video. I don't know, even remember where I saw it, but they were talking about how they were able to delineate earthquakes, seismic activity, and predicting them. Is it the Folsom fast transformation method or something like that? It basically was how they eliminated certain odds and even numbers, and they were able to take something that would take, you know, 300 hours to compute down to 30 seconds because of this formula. Who they found out, by the way, a guy had already discovered back in the 1800s in an unpublished work of this guy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It was a fascinating video. I watched it. And so that's kind of what you're doing, right? You're taking the complicated and then you're simplifying it into a pill form, and then you're automating it so it can run itself without having to have such heavy lifting, like you said, the $9 million a year heavy lifting of this person managing this spreadsheet, this person managing this data, and then trying to, you know, put it together. That's kind of what we're talking about in a practical sense. No, correct?
Because I mean, the bottom line here is that the math has not been the issue for a very long time, mm-hmm. right? Certainly the math is occasionally improved here and there in the margins. There's a lot of smart guys doing that kind of stuff, but the math is the math, right? The issue that spawned Proof was the inability of data science teams and business teams to get together and operationalize the analytics in a way that made the input and the output relevant to the decision-making cadence of the business and really help them do better, right? So what's really key here is, and just to show you, I'll give you a really strong sense of it right here, If you were to take a repeating business decision that has to be made like daily, and there's a lot of those, right?
Yeah,
and you improved the quality, used analytics to improve the quality of that business decision, 0.5% every day for 1 year, the compounded value of all of those improvements would yield an annualized, 1,800% improvement, which is freaking huge, right?
that's very huge.
So you don't, analytics is not just about, oh, I got to find my 30% this month, right? That's not it, right? It's just like investment. It's a lot like savings, right? It's a journey, but boy, does all the numbers work in your favor when you're on this journey. It's absolutely fabulous.
So somebody calls you right now. They say, Proof Analytics, I need your product.
Yep.
What is the typical problem you're solving for? And then what does it actually look like? They buy it, then what?
So typically we sell into finance teams and marketing teams. These are sort of the adversaries in this particular situation. Occasionally sales teams are also involved. Sales leadership is involved. Most of the time, the finance guys immediately understand what's going on analytically, and between them and the data science teams, which are also usually sort of involved, right? They just go, yep, this is a total winner, right? This is great. Understand why so many CDOs have already endorsed Proof. Makes total sense. So then the issue really then is non-technical. It's about sitting down with the marketing teams and the rest of the C-suite interested parties and saying, hey, what are the biggest questions you have about marketing's interaction with sales or whatever, right? Usually that is not hard for them to rattle off. In fact, at this stage of doing all this, I can probably tell you the top 20 in advance, right? It's that predictable. And so you're like, okay, so I understand this. These are all, these questions are essentially the root of decisions that have to be made, right? And so everyone wants to make sure they make better decisions, not worse decisions. The decisions themselves or the questions themselves suggest a model or a model framework more specifically, which includes, okay, based on this question, you're going to need access to the following types of data to arm this model.
So right? Some of it might come from their CRM, their Salesforce, or no?
It could come from outside. Could be interest rates. Could be consumer confidence. Could be all kinds of stuff. Could be competitive.
Okay, so you're tying into a lot of different things.
Yeah, and again, it all depends. There's not the idea that there's like the analytics is this pill that you drop into a data lake full of all this disparate data and it somehow makes sense of all of it magically is, well, not to put too fine a point on it, total bullshit, right? That's not the way it works. So the fundamental question that you're trying to answer is going to say, okay, this is the kind of analytical framework that we're going to need to work with. This is the kind of the model framework. And these are the data sets or the types of data sets that we're going to need to put into this model in order to begin to have something that we can socialize with the business and say, hey, does this represent what you're looking for? Right? So again, this is the minimum viable model.
Totally.
So all this typically happens within 2 weeks, right? It doesn't mean it doesn't continue to iterate after that.
You get the big stuff over a 10-day
period. Yeah, it's a hot start, right? I mean, and people are typically really engaged because
now, do you have like a sheet you walk the customer through?
Absolutely.
To guide them, I was going to say, because if you just, you walk in a room and you go, oh, what are you trying to sell for? You know, next thing you know, everyone's saying everything. So, and then it becomes
nothing. Actually, so
then,
so
then it becomes nothing.
Yeah, when we do it live, right? We actually have slides that project up on the walls that just flash different kinds of questions, right? And that's when everyone's kind of coming into the room, milling around, all that kind of stuff, right? That's
when they're feeding them. You're feeding their mind,
right? Feeding their mind, priming them. Because they're all going to have variations.
Do you know what they call that? People don't realize it. This is a very underutilized principle in life, especially with consultants and trainers and in business in general. It's called profound knowledge. What we know in advance, we prepare for in advance to save everyone time, energy, and money. And so by you putting those things on the screen, you're not only making your life easier, you're making their life better, and they don't even know it. Right. Anyway. I acquiesce.
No,
continue.
Totally right. So, you know, time to value on proof is usually less than 90 days. We can usually save means a lot of things to a lot of people, but we can usually save a customer, 10 to 20% of their current spend. Because 10 to 20% is usually the number that is sub-optimized or basically nothing's happening at all.
So you're helping them. So basically for every dollar they spend for the average watcher and listener, what Mark is saying is that he has the ability to go into a business and say for every dollar you're spending, you're wasting 50 cents to 20 cents of it. We think after 90 days, we can dial in and save you 20 and 30 cents on every dollar and then iterate from there. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's an extremely accurate statement, which I think that any data scientist.
Are you looking for any sales guys? Or
we can always use a good sales guy.
Mark, hang on. We got to take another break. You know how many people have tried to hire me, Mark? So many. I always say no to them. I hire myself. Anyway, you're with Mark from Proof Analytics. And Adam DeGrade, your handsome host from the David versus Goliath podcast, is another important message. We'll be right back.
At ISU RMAC Agency, we want to be your one responsible source for all of your insurance needs. From a rocket engineer in California to several hospitals in Illinois, our personal lines team specializes in hard-to-place risks and high-net-worth clientele. With two locations and 20-plus agents, we can write in all 50 states to better serve our clients with needs in multiple states. Family owned and operated since 1962 and four generations carrying on the tradition of insurance. Celebrating our 60th year in the industry, we are truly proud of where we have come from and where we are going. With over 300 carriers nationwide, our agency can offer individuals and businesses more choices and better prices. ISU RMAC brings a wide variety of solutions to the table. For more information, visit us online at www.isu-rmac.com.
With the final segment, and for the watchers and listeners, I do look a lot redder, and I lost my voice last week. I had this terrible, horrible cold thing, and I'm just getting it back now. So if I sound a little bit raspier than usual, now you'll know why. And Mark, this has been awesome. I got to tell you, I'm tracking with you because I love this stuff so much myself. Like, I'm a huge data junkie. I love learning about data. But let's go to the personal side of the business. There's 37 people. You have partners. Has it been a beautiful partnership the whole time? Or have there been challenges along the way? This is an important question, by the way, because
it is absolutely. I mean, I think, after doing this for 6 years or so, right?
You still like each other?
Yeah, no, I think for the most part, right? I mean, there's been some issues for sure, right?
Sure.
I think that what you really realize is that in the people process technology triangle, people are far and away the most important piece. And when you start, you know, it's sort of like I compare running a SaaS company, whether it's the CEO like me or anyone else that's in power in a SaaS company. It's very much like being handed wealth or power, in the sense that actually wealth and power don't corrupt. So with all due respect to the guy, the Brit that originally said that, right? What they do is they reveal the level of corruption that's already present.
I totally agree with you. It's so funny you say that. I literally was talking about that the other day. You know, if you look at even what the Bible says, right? I mean, there's a passage in the scripture in the New Testament where it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And what's so fascinating about it is people have left out the word love of money, mm-hmm. and they just say money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Well, money is not the root of all evil, because at the end of the day, you couldn't eat without money. You couldn't survive without money. You couldn't tithe to the church without money. And let's be real at that point. But it does reveal who you are. So if you're a tyrant inside of who you are, mm-hmm. wealth and power and money make you worse. If you're right. benevolent and you're a good guy or a good girl, so to speak, and you have a kind heart and you are a generous person, that tends to become more when you have wealth and money. So I like that. I was just arguing with somebody about this the other day. Just because somebody's rich doesn't mean they're bad. And just because somebody's poor doesn't mean they're good. Yeah. It's all.
Well, and I think that the other part too is that SaaS is a very, very, very hard entrepreneurial road, right? I mean, services, right? Running a, you know, an agency or a consultancy or something like that is vastly easier than running a SaaS company. And so it tends to be fairly binary in terms of the way that it impacts people. It will either drive them to a not so good place, or it will end up breaking them down in a very constructive way and making them a much better person.
Totally. I'm on my fourth SaaS business, by the way, Mark. Did you know that?
So you know what I'm talking about then.
I've exited three of them very successfully. And the fourth one is up and running. And it's going well. But you know, people, it's not for the faint of heart. There's no doubt about it.
It's not. No, it's absolutely not for the faint of heart. And I think that it's a great metaphor for life, you know. I mean, I think that there's a reason why we are not allowed to see too much of our future, because if we could, we might not have the courage to take one more step.
Totally agree.
And I think that SaaS entrepreneurship is a lot the same way, right? I mean, you get into it. I don't care who you are, right? You get into it because of the 0.1%.
Yeah.
And because you believe that you are just as exceptional as they are, right?
And I do.
But if you think about it, right? I mean, that's a lot of hubris, right?
Listen, as I tell people, I'm very proud of my humility, Mark. It's been an asset of mine for many, many years. Yep. People are like, how do you do it? I'm like, I'm very proud of my humility. No, it's you're right. You have to look in the mirror and you have to say, I could do this. Otherwise, you'd be crazy. And I think in some aspects of it, though, there is a good crazy in that, and these entrepreneurial type of people that come up with these ideas and are not afraid to run with them. Because if you sat down and logically thought about it, you'd be like, what am I? Am I out of my mind? I'm crazy. I could go get a job making, you know, $500,000, $1 million a year right now with my resume. Maybe more. And at the end of the day, it's like, why do it again? Because you can.
Right.
And because in some ways, I believe I'm supposed to. So it's fascinating that you say that.
Yeah, let me say this. I think that the biggest lesson that I've learned, and it's both an operational learning in a SaaS company, but it's also based on what I see over and over and over again in the analytics. And that is that the amount that we actually control is actually very small, right? We are surfing a wave that we do not control.
And do not understand in some ways.
And do not really understand, right? And what separates us from wiping out versus a flourished, you know, exit on the beach, right, is extremely small stuff. It also,
it's so true, man. It's so true. I got to tell you a story.
And you are not central. You are not central to the story.
I know, right? That.
I understand. Have a very that. Important role to play. I have very.
But I'm not central role, to it.
But I am not central to it.
I'll remember. I'm not going to tell you which company, but there was one of my exits in my company. We were coming to the end of closing this transaction with the person who was making the investment, and there was no way the company was going to survive without it. Like it wouldn't have existed 2 days after if the transaction didn't happen. And it happened because it was supposed to happen. But it gives you a humbling respect to your point that there's a wave and things that are happening around you that you can't control. And I'm a big believer. I believe in God, and I believe in prayer, and I believe in trying to find that centered peace even in those difficult storms. I believe that. My other partners, not so much. They had different types of opinions at the time. But we all had our thing that helped us get through it, but we all got through it at the end of the day. But to your point, it's bigger than us, and there's so many things that you can't control. Why not control the things that you can control?
Now you have really nailed it, right?
I'm the host here. I'm feeding you back right now. I'm giving you, this is your softball coming in from the pitcher. The pitcher literally just threw a 92 mile an hour fastball, and here comes your 40 mile an hour, no spin on the ball. You can hit it. So that's what Proof Analytics does, is that there's so much in your business life you can't control. Let us help the part that you can control. And that should be your new slogan. And I'll take a small piece of the business for that. So, problem. I'm going to have my wife call you, who's our family CFO, and she'll send you the paperwork. We'll be all set.
It's so true, right? And this is actually where the GPS analogy really, really works, right? If you think about, the next time you hop in your car, you pick up your iPhone, start the GPS, right? You know where you are and you know where you want to go. And it will show you a route, which is the equivalent to a forecast, right?
Yeah, totally.
But what is going to change your route is exclusively stuff that you do not control.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Right?
And I think that
is a pandemic, a market shift, diesel shortage, all of these things.
I think the other thing too that's really important here is that, a GPS only locates you within about 30 meters of your actual location. And that is sufficient accuracy for that job to get you from A to B. And the same thing is true with analytics, right?
Yeah, totally.
If you model the average business decision, the confidence score isn't going to be in the 20s and 30s, not in the 90s, right? Yeah, totally. So if you can improve them, if you can help improve that into the 40s and 50s, man, you are smoking hot.
Well, with that being said, because we're out of time and I've had a blast with you so far, I hope to have you on in the future again. How can people find you, Mark, and learn more about what you do?
So our website is www.proofanalytics.ai. I am really active on LinkedIn. I'm very easy to find. It's Mark, M-A-R-K. Last name, Stuse, S-T-O-U-S-E. I am still on Twitter, but I can't promise how much longer that will be the case.
What are you talking about? Twitter's amazing. I just finally got back on it.
Yeah, no, it's a, I think
Elon's tearing it up. It's about time. Freedom of speech, babe. Where are you going? What are you afraid of?
Yeah, no, I think actually the truth is that whether it's Twitter or anything else, right? I mean,
I hate them. I hate them all.
These are effectively large cities. And just like a large city, there are parts of it you don't want to go, and there's parts of it that are great.
Yeah, totally. 100%. It's funny. I was trolling around Twitter last night, and I found this awesome, awesome channel. It's called Historic Vids. So this guy takes all these amazing old videos, like things that would have been lost, and he just streams them on his feed. It was worse than TikTok, man. 1 hour later, I'm going, I'm watching Gandhi. I'm watching, right. You know, I'm watching Barbara Streisand. I'm watching Tina Turner. I'm watching Eddie Murphy. And I mean, I was like, I couldn't stop. But you're right. It's totally right about that. So they can find you on LinkedIn, on the web. Have you had a good time being here?
Yes, I have. Thank you. You're a great host.
Probably way better than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do a lot of these things, right? And
nobody has fun. They're always so boring.
Yeah, sometimes they're really good, and other times, you know, you just kind of go with it.
You just kind of power through it. Right. Hey, same thing is true for me, Mark. Sometimes my guests I like, and other times I'm like, whoa. Yeah. I got to get stimmed up and ready to burn. Anyway, it's been awesome having you on the show. I'm going to have you back. I can't wait to have you back. It's been awesome. Thanks. This is Adam DeGrade. You're with Mark from Proof Analytics. We've had an awesome day together. You never know who I'm going to interview next week, so tune in. Have an awesome day.